It was a busy Sunday. Many people wanted me to repeat the 5 points, beginning with consecration. It was very good, so that, you know, we could go over that with several. And many people like me were shocked about what the Lord told the king to do. You know, when he comes to the throne, he first writes down the law and learn it, so that he know it and he learn it. That's a very important thing. So many people expressed their curiosity to know more about it. And that is found in Deuteronomy 17. Now, by way of application, it tells the importance of the word of God, that the Lord does not make any compromise in relation to his word, and he wants us to be faithful in knowing the word. Not necessarily all of us are not preachers of the word, but he wants us to know the word and apply it to ourselves and also to help others. Thank you, and I'm sure that all of us, you know, study of God's word, both in the ministry and also in the Bible study by various people doing it. You know, our styles are different. Some of it is very practical, very applicational, very devotional, very simple. Sometimes, you know, we have to go a little deeper. And the Lord brings these various styles and the various gifts together for the blessing of his people. So today, in concluding our study on the priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, we will look at the Melchizedekian priesthood. And even the writer to the Hebrews told the readers that I want to tell you more about this Melchizedek, but you are dull of hearing and little sluggish. So, you know, he said that I really want to tell more, but you are dull of hearing it. That means it is a little heavy stuff. And unless we pay real great good attention, we may not be able to follow the argument of the author. Now, I want to begin the difference between Melchizedekian priesthood and the Levitical priesthood. Why the Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood is called the priesthood according to Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus Christ was not born in the tribe of Levi, so upon this earth he can never be a priest. The writer to the Hebrews tells that. He was born in the tribe of Judah. But at the same time, he is the prophet of God, he is the priest of God, and he is also the king anointed by God, the threefold office of Christ. But how he is qualified to be a priest? Because he is not in the order of the Levitical priesthood. And the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is far better and superior to the Levitical priesthood. And the writer is calling the people to look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of their faith, and to run the race that is set before them. Now, as we have already seen, you know, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in his priesthood, the ministry of intercession, the ministry of mediation, the ministry of representation, the ministry of inauguration, and the ministry of benediction. He does that perfectly for his people. Now, just to, at a glance, I want to highlight 6 major differences between the Lord Jesus Christ's priesthood and the Levitical priesthood, which are interspersed throughout the book of Hebrews, beginning in chapter 4. So I will just, we have looked at some of them, just to freshen up our memory. The Levitical priests were many in number, the high priests were many in number. From the time of Aaron to Caiaphas, Josephus records that there were 81 high priests. So there were many in number, but Jesus, only one high priest. The Levitical priesthood was temporary. It was a type, it was a shadow. The priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is permanent. That is another argument of the book of Hebrews. The third one, the Levitical high priests, they were all sinners by themselves. They had to, it's funny, you know, that is the writer to the Hebrews very satirically develops that. That is, they first had to offer sacrifices for their own sins. As though the writer is telling, are you kidding me? You know, they have to first offer sacrifices for their own sins. But our high priest is holy, undefiled, perfect, higher than the heavens. Now, the fourth difference, they had to offer sacrifices daily. And on the Day of Atonement, those rituals year after year. But look at the technical phrase which he uses several times. It is not just a word, it is a technical vocabulary in the mind of the writer to the Hebrews. Once for all. Decisive, complete. You know, some years ago, I talked to a Hindu friend of mine in India, and we were discussing about the pujas and the sacrifices. And, you know, he was also well-versed in his religion. We were not debating. He had great respect for what I do and for my faith. But as I was sharing this, I told him that, my friend, one of the great things the Word of God highlights is that the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ is once for all. That means it is complete, it is decisive, it is perfect. Nobody, no religion, no guru, no philosopher can add anything to it. It doesn't have to be edited again. Nobody can add anything to it. It is so perfect and it is so complete. So once and for all. When you read the book of Hebrews, you know, I don't have time to go into all the references, specially underline that. That is a key term for him, you know, once for all. Then the fifth one, they offered sacrificial animals. But our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, he offered up himself. Then again, kind of satirically, you know, the writer to the Hebrews, in chapters 8, 9, and 10, he brings out this topic, the sixth difference. You know, Aaron, he entered the holy place in a man-made tent, the tabernacle. But by means of the blood of goats and calves. But our high priest entered the holy place in the heavenly sanctuary, not made with hands, in the very presence of God by means of his own blood. So it is a very strong apologetic defense of his thesis that the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is superior and there to the priesthood of the Levitical system, and you don't have to go back to the Levitical system. It is only a shadow. It is only a type. The perfection and the fulfillment and the anti-type has come in Jesus Christ. He is the all-sufficient Savior, and all your needs are met in him. He is a compassionate, faithful and merciful high priest. So he calls them and encourages them to follow him. Now, the Melchizedekian priesthood. It's a very deep and detailed. I just want to touch upon some of the very basic things in the argument of the writer to the Hebrews. Chapter 6. Shall we turn to chapter 6? Verse 20, beginning in verse 20, were the forerunner, that's another name for the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, the pioneer, the forerunner, the one who has gone before us, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, a new order. And a new priesthood. Then in verse chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, or king of peace. Salem is another ancient name for Jerusalem. Jerusalem, so the city of peace. So Melchizedek is a mysterious figure. We do not know many things about him. But we read of him first in Genesis chapter 14. I don't take time to go back to it, but that is where he's mentioned for the first time. This Melchizedek was a priest and king, like the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is why the writer to the Hebrews is attracted to him. Because Melchizedek, whatever the scripture reveals about him, makes him similar on a parallel note with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is not like the Levitical priesthood. So Melchizedek, we first find him in history in Genesis chapter 14. Abraham rescued Lot in a daring mission from the hands of pagan kings in Genesis 14. And when he was returning with his bodyguards and with his soldiers, Melchizedek met him and Melchizedek blessed him. So that is the historical record about Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. A mysterious, enigmatic figure appears from nowhere. And no further details are given about him. It is simply said that he is the king. He was a king and a priest. And he probably resided in Jerusalem. So he was, Melchizedek means king of righteousness. He was also the king of Jerusalem. And he was, verse 1, priest of the most high God. King and priest together in one person. The Lord Jesus Christ is prophet, priest and king. So Aaron was not king and priest. Aaron was only a prophet. So the writer to the Hebrews finds this enigmatic figure very useful for his illustration, for his argument. Now look at verse 1 again, Hebrews 7:1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Now, the first record of Melchizedek, historical record, in Genesis chapter 14. Then, after a millennium, another record about Melchizedek in Psalm 110 by way of prophecy. So let us read that. That is the second record of Melchizedek. No much details are given about him, but a prophetic word about him after the Genesis account in 10th century BC under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, David in a messianic psalm mentions Melchizedek and the decree of God the Father. So that is the second reference to Melchizedek in the Bible. So let me put it this way. The first one is a historical record. The second one is a prophetical record in Psalm 110. In verse 4, a messianic psalm, 110:4, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest, the Messiah, the anointed king, the Lord Jesus Christ, Christos, Christ. You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So that is a prophecy about the Melchizedekan priesthood of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. So a historical record is there, then a prophetic word about Melchizedek, a declaration of God the Father that the Messiah would be a prophet according to a new order. Then in the third mention of him is in the book of Hebrews, a doctrinal and apologetic defense and exposition of the superiority of the Melchizedekan priesthood. And that is taken up by the writer to the Hebrews. And now, this is very enigmatic, you know. Kind of, there is a shroud of mystery. So there are so many superstitions concerning Melchizedek, even in Jewish history. This is what I personally think. you know, I'm visualizing the writer to the Hebrews, who was a great orator, a reader, a great researcher, a great scholar, whoever that may be. And he was infused with the power of the Spirit, and under the guidance and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he meditated and he mused and he researched and studied about this great figure and found in him a parallel to the priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he finally writes it down. Look at verse 3 here, Hebrews 7:3. Without father, about Melchizedek, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now, the writer to the Hebrews, he is writing that Melchizedek's genealogical list, he has no papers, no birth certificate to produce. In order to become a priest in the Levitical order, you need to have all the paper credentials, especially the genealogical credentials. But Melchizedek is kind of a mysterious figure. He appears from nowhere, and his genealogical origin is not recorded anywhere. Without father and mother, it doesn't mean that, you know, he was born illegitimately, not that he was illegitimately born, or that he did not have parents, you know, or that he did not die. It simply means that there is no record available. So the lack of papers, the lack of record about him, makes him very similar to the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ also did not have a priestly genealogy. Even though his genealogy is mentioned in the Bible, he did not have a priestly genealogy. So there is no genealogical record available of him. No list is available. His genealogy is not traceable. We do not know who his father is, his mother is, where did he come from, when did he die. He looks like a person without beginning and without end. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying, exactly like our Lord Jesus Christ. So the argument is, the Holy Spirit mysteriously placed this person in the Holy Scriptures. Look at chapter 7, verse 2. Verse 3, the end, the last part, but made like the Son of God, Melchizedek, resembling the Son of God. The Holy Spirit purposely placed him and hid his genealogy and his origin. Nobody knows, because the Holy Spirit wanted to make him resembling the Lord Jesus Christ without beginning and without end. And no priestly genealogy. So the writer to the Hebrews is saying, it's a perfect parallel with the Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, in earlier days when we all used to read the Bible, we have wondered, what does this mean? Without father and without mother, you know, it talks, nothing is available about him. So there is no beginning, no end, no record of him anywhere. So he looks like our Lord Jesus Christ. He made like our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is silent about his birth, about his death, about his genealogical record, his parentage, etc., so that he may be presented resembling to the Lord Jesus Christ as having an eternal priesthood. So, Jesus Christ is the King. Melchizedek also is a king. Melchizedek is a priest. Jesus Christ also is a priest. Melchizedek means king of righteousness and king of peace. Jesus Christ also is the king of peace and king of righteousness. Melchizedek has no beginning, no end. Jesus Christ also has no beginning, no end. Melchizedekian priesthood appears like an eternal priesthood. Jesus Christ's priesthood also is an eternal priesthood. So that is his argument. The argument continues. Look at chapter 7 again. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was. That is about Melchizedek. I have seen in many assemblies believers getting up on Sunday morning and they think that this is about the Lord Jesus Christ, and for worship they read this verse. How consider how great this is. That's an innocent mistake, but we should know better. This is talking about Melchizedek and not about the Lord Jesus Christ. Even I have read in certain books, people have written like that, you know, the writer to the Hebrews saying how great this man is in verse 4 of chapter 7. That's not talking about Jesus Christ, about Melchizedek. To whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. So Abraham gave tithe. That is the next argument. Abraham gave tithe to Melchizedek. Look at verse 5. Indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. 7. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Verse 8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witness that he lives. So the next argument is, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. So the writer to the Hebrews brings a very logical argument. It is the greater one who receives the tithes and blesses the one who gives the tithes, the greater one. So the lesser one always gives tithes and the greater one receives the tithes. So if Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek, Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, his descendants, his race, Jewish system, and everything Abraham represents. So that is his argument. You know, the greater receives tithes and blesses. The lesser gives tithes and receives the blessing. So, Melchizedek blesses Abraham, means Abraham and all what he represents. The Judaism, Levitical priesthood, you know, his race, ancestry, heritage, everything he represents is far inferior and Melchizedek is far superior. So, Melchizedekian priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ is far greater than the priesthood of Judaism represented by the Levitical priesthood. There is a bombshell argument coming in the next verse. You know, look at verse 9. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. See, the priests always received tithes in the tabernacle and in the temple. But look at verse 9 and 10. Even Levi was not born at that time when Abraham met, when Melchizedek met Abraham. But the argument is, even Levi who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So, this is the argument. That is, when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Levi was not born, but Levi was in the loins of Abraham. And Levi was not born. When Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, Levi, though unborn, was also involved in giving the tithes to a greater priest. So Melchizedekan priesthood is greater than Levitical priesthood. I don't think there is any argument like this anywhere in the scriptures. Now, if we had time, we can go on and go on, parsing every word and, connecting every dot, what he is trying to argue and establishing. Melchizedek foreshadows Christ's titles, King of Righteousness, King of Peace. He is prophet, he is priest, and king. Melchizedek foreshadows Christ's character, righteousness, and peace. Melchizedek foreshadows Christ's eternality. No beginning, no end. Melchizedek represents the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ because he received tithes. Abraham gave tithes and Melchizedek received it. And when Melchizedek received the tithes, Levi was in the loins, in the body of Abraham, even though unborn. So the Levitical priesthood that has to come through Levi from Abraham is subservient, is lesser, is inferior to Melchizedekan priesthood because Abraham paid tithe to Melchizedek and Levi also was involved though he was unborn. Now, look at verse 11, chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, in the light of all these arguments in relation to the superiority of the Melchizedekan priesthood, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be called according to the order of Aaron? Verse 12, for the priesthood being changed, priesthood is changed, not Levitical priesthood anymore. That was only a type. The Levitical priesthood could not provide a priesthood, permanent priesthood or a perfect sacrifice. It was characterized by sin and weakness and imperfection and above all a transient nature. So there was every need that a new priesthood should be established for the perfecting of the saints, for the sanctification of the people of God, for the justification of the people of God, to save them to the uttermost, to help them in every need. A God-man has to be their sacrifice and their high priest. So he is able to save us to the uttermost. Chapter 7, verse 25. So, compellingly, so that I just gave you the gist only about the argument, and there are, these things can be developed, and for some of you it will be little, difficult to understand. It needs several reading and study and meditation and understanding. So I hope everybody understood the basic argument why the Melchizedekan priesthood is superior to the Levitical priesthood. So in a very compelling manner and in a very convincing manner, the writer to the Hebrews appeals to the readers that you have everything greater, superior, and better in Jesus Christ. And live by faith in him. If you go back, if you slip back, he will have no pleasure in you. Run the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So the great motivation and encouragement he brings by showing the superiority of the Lord Jesus Christ and his priesthood and what he is able to accomplish for the people of God. So that is basically the argument, and the priesthood theme continues to chapters 8 and 9 and 10. Then finally it comes in chapter 11 to a call to live by faith. So the Lord Jesus Christ is serving his people as a perfect high priest in a heavenly sanctuary, and he has completed his work. There is nothing more needed to complete that work. No one else can complete anything. He has completed that work. So as I told you in the first day, we are traveling on his shoulders as he carries us until we reach home, and he is able to save us to the uttermost. A new priesthood, a better priesthood, a greater priesthood. His priesthood is superior to the Melchizedekian priesthood. Brother Sam, would you close in prayer?